do ask for your prayers as I stand before you this morning. Feel better always after prayer has been offered publicly, and feel the Lord certainly bless the words that have been spoken in a way of prayer, as well as the petitions that you've offered up and spoken, the requests have been made. I feel the love that the Lord has shared and given to us being shared with one another, and we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And that's one of the great evidences of the children of God, is that they behold how they love one another. And I pray the Lord would continue us, for us to walk in that love, that we would walk in the liberty and the grace and the mercy that He has so wonderfully showered down upon us, and we'd walk in that light that He has given us. As Brother Terry mentioned in his prayer, we have none of these things without the Lord first giving them to us. We wouldn't be aware of them, wouldn't know anything about them, have no appreciation of them. So we're very, very thankful this morning that He's allowed us to have even this burden in our hearts to be here today. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. Passage here where the Lord gives good instruction to us through the prophet Isaiah about His work in our lives and all that He has done for us, and where He is speaking to us through the prophet. We have a thus saith the Lord, and it tells us about who we are and what the Lord has done for us and all that He continues to do for us to give us great comfort, I hope, in our lives as God's people. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Heard this read yesterday and spoken from just a little bit. It's kind of been on my mind since I've heard it, and stayed with me last night and was with me this morning. So we were here looking at it, and pray the Lord would just be with us. Verse 1 says, "But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west, and will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Wonderful words given to us by inspiration of God about how it is that we are even here this morning. How that we might even have a hope in our hearts of being a little child of grace, belonging to the Lord. How it could be possible that those who were so far removed from anything that even resembled righteousness could be brought to a place where we could not only want to come and serve God, but be able to come and serve God. Not only want to call upon His name, but be able to call upon His name with some hope and anticipation that not only do we call, but that He hears our call. And that when we call upon the Lord, He does hear us. And He answers those petitions according to His own will in our lives. It's an amazing thing to think that we can communicate with the God who created all that is. He created the heavens and the earth, and all that therein is. That's the God we're talking about. The Bible says, "But now, thus saith the Lord." That means right now, at this moment, thus saith the Lord. What's wonderful about what thus saith the Lord is that it's always timely. It's always now. Whenever you read something in the Bible, you can count on it as being something that's going to last. It's solid. It isn't truth that'll change. You read the news in the newspaper, and it may change tomorrow. Probably will change. Most likely will change. It will change. The news changes all the time. What men believe changes all the time. The doctrines of this world change all the time. People, one sure thing about people that will not change is that they will change. They change all the time. But the God of heaven that we serve changes not. He's the same as Jesus is the same, and He is Lord and He is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He does not change His mind. He doesn't change, does not need to change. He cannot change. If you are perfect and you change, you'd cease to be perfect. And He is perfect in all of His ways, and therefore He doesn't need to change. You and I need to change because we're imperfect and should be changing. We should be growing in grace and knowledge of the truth. But our Lord changes not. And whatever has been taught in the Word of God, you can count on this book being just as good today as it was yesterday, and as many days that will come, this book will still be a solid guide for God's people in their lives. And what the Lord has said, you can count on. It's a wonderful thing to be able to believe that. And if you're able to believe that, it's because of what He says right here. He says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee." That means God's people are God's creatures. They are those that He made. Now we know that everything is made by God. And if you understand that this morning, that means you're not a fool. Because if you don't understand that, according to the Bible, it is the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. If the Lord has blessed you not to be a fool, which we would have been by nature and would be by nature and would never be out of that, and you can understand that it is God who created the heavens and the earth. You can see in the creation of God, the very Creator, that He made this world, that He it's the work of His hands, then you're a blessed character. In Corinthians, the first Corinthians chapter 2, it tells us that the eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither is entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Which means if you can see those things that God has prepared for them that love Him, it's because God has revealed them unto you by His Spirit. Which means the Spirit of God has to have been taken up its abode in your heart, where you have been brought from a state of death, where you had no ability to know spiritual things, to a state of life where you've been made a new creature. And you know that God is, not because you found Him, but because He called you and quickened you and gave you a love for Him and an ability to see Him and to know Him. And if you can see Him at all, you may say, "Well, I just feel like I want to reach out to Him." Well, if you know that He's there to reach out to, that means you can reach out to Him by God's grace. No man can come to me, He says in the Gospel of John, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And then the promise is, and I will raise him up again at the last day. That means everyone that is drawn to the Father in this way, that's the effectual work of Almighty God, they will come. Every one of them. They'll come out of the east, He says it, and the west, and the north, and the south. And when He calls them and He quickens them, He changes them. They're made new creatures. Old things pass away, as He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. There's a love in their heart that they did not have before. There's an ability to know things they did not know before. They have an eye to see the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. They have an ear to hear it, a heart to understand it. And if you have that today, this is the evidence that you have been made by God. You are His creation, not only naturally. See, many men have been, matter of fact, all men were made naturally. They are His natural creation. But in the fall, man it became impossible for man to bring him back into fellowship, into relationship with God, because of the state of death in which he fell. Adam fell, Adam died, Adam transgressed God's law, Eve transgressed God's law, and our mother and our father died, and all of us that were born as sons and daughters of Adam inherited a polluted bloodline where we were born in sin. And we would have never changed our mind, never changed our heart, never called upon God. Though all the evidence is there for us to believe in Him, we would have refuted it and called it something else until God made a difference in us. I'm telling you, if God's made a difference in you, your whole world should be different today. The way you think ought to be different. The way you act ought to be different. The way you behave ought to be different. You have a purpose for living in a world that is so completely without any purpose whatsoever unless you know He who made this world. And you cannot know Him until He knows you, until He finds you, till He comes to you, and you're not lost to Him. He knows when you were formed and fashioned in your mother's womb. He's watched you all through your life, and at His time, for some it may have been in the mother's womb, for others it may have been in teenage years, and others it may be in the very last days of their life. But at some point He will create them in the sense He makes them new creatures. As He says, we were His, those that are in Christ, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. That means if you know Him today, it's because He made you. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad you didn't make yourself? Listen, if you made yourself, you have to keep yourself. I've made a lot of messes in this world. That's about what I've made. I don't want to have that responsibility. I certainly cannot, and I'd hate to think it was my job to go make others of God's children. Some people are so actively trying to go around this world, and they're trying to make children of God. Listen, the ministry has never been called to make sheep. It's been called to feed sheep. It's been called to find the lambs, find the sheep that who made? God has made. And we're to feed them. We're called to feed them. What do we feed them with? The thus saith the Lord, the word of God. We share that with them. But if the Lord does not give them an eye to hear the word, and an ear to hear it, and an eye to see it, and a heart to understand it, if the Lord doesn't make them, as this verse says, He created thee, then that word will have absolutely no effect. Other than maybe making someone want to kill you because you said and spoke the name of Jesus. Listen, the name of Jesus will either cause love in the hearts of His children, or it'll cause people to hate it so bad they will kill those who mention the name of Jesus. We live in a nation where we don't fear that. Around this world, you mention the name of Jesus in some places and you're shut up in a prison house, or your life is taken, or your head's cut off. We never know when that may occur in this nation. Brethren, what I'm saying to you, we need to be thankful today that God has given us this sweet, precious liberty. Walk in it and take the name of Jesus. Not just sing we take the name of Jesus. Not just sing that we're leaning on Him. Not just say we're walking hand in hand with the Lord. But actively in our lives, realizing He's with us every day, every hour, every moment. And the reason He is not because I reached out and grabbed Him. And the reason He's staying with me is not because I'm holding on to Him. It's because He has created me as His child. He's named me by His name. And therefore I am to live my life differently because of that. He says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. And Jacob is just a picture and a representation of the elect family of God. Remember in Romans 8, He gives us that. Romans 9, He gives us that. He says, for Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Pointing to those two little children while yet in the mother's womb. And God's purpose as election is concerned, and the doctrine of election that shows that God had a love for His people that He foreknew even before the foundation of the world, that God chose us in Christ. As Paul says in the Ephesian letter, we were chosen in Him a long time before you had an opportunity to choose Him. There are some people say God chose you because you chose Him. Listen, God chose you a long time before you ever chose Him. Matter of fact, nobody would ever choose Him if they were not first chosen of the Lord. They wouldn't know Him. They wouldn't care about Him. the only way they would use his name would be in a way of vanity and cursing. And there have been those who have done that in their lives, that when the Lord does quicken them up, it quicken them. And if you're like me, there's a lot of things that come out of these old lips that I wish I could go back and roll back the years and the time and change some of the things I've said and some of the things I've done, because I see things differently today than I have in the past. And even after the Lord has dealt with me, there's still that growth process. Aren't you glad the Lord just works in your heart as a little child? He works with you as a loving father, just helping you along the way. And he's so long-suffering, and he's so gentle, and he's so kind. But then he chastens every one of us. He doesn't let you get away with it. Sometimes we think we can, but he doesn't let you get away with it. I think of over in Isaiah, and in Isaiah 29, he talks about something I think we just need to be really aware of. Because sometimes we get so settled in the things that the Lord has done for us that we forget how important it is that we are really with Him in our hearts today. He says in verse 13 of Isaiah 29 these words. He says, "Wherefore the Lord says, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, and have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Brethren, today I don't want just my lips to be praising Him. I don't want just the words I speak to be praising Him. I don't want the fear that I have of Him to just be something someone's laid on me by the law. I want my heart to be moved by God's mighty power, that when my lips speak, my heart is talking. That I am from the heart. He is the treasure of my heart. And where your heart is, there's where your treasure will be also. I pray there are many times old Gary and others come to church and we sing Amazing Grace, but Amazing Grace is far from our hearts. It's just coming out of our lips. I want my heart moved, don't you? Now, you can come and have your old lips like that and then you get whipped right during the middle of a sermon. You say, "Well, I might be there right now." Well, if you are, repent. Ask God to forgive you, and let's get to understanding today. God created us. Listen, right where we are, this day the Lord has given us right now, we are His because He created us. And you are His chosen. Jacob is talking about His chosen people. He made choice of Jacob before he was ever born. He made choice of His people before they were ever born, even before the foundation of the world, according to the Apostle Paul in the Ephesian letter. And he says, "And He that formed thee, O Israel," that is the people of God, "He said, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." And that ought to be good news for you today, because you needed redeeming. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that's good. There's not one of us who can get good. There's not one of us who would want to get good. And if we wanted to get good, there's not one of us who could have gotten good. There's not one of us who could get baptized enough. There's not one of us who could join the right group, the right church, the right place. There's not any other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the redemption that we have in Him is not what we grabbed a hold of, but it's that which He did for us at Calvary. When He died on the tree of the cross, He had in His mind and in His purpose every little child of grace. And He paid a sin debt there, and the Father's wrath was satisfied completely, so that our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. And you and I, as His children, if indeed we are, have been redeemed. The hymn writer said, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." I love proclaiming this morning. I want to be excited about proclaiming it. I don't want to sit here and tell you something like I'm reading out of a math book. I mean, I try to make math interesting in school the best I can. I try to make other subjects interesting. But I don't have to prop this up. Listen, my math lessons need propping up. This book, His Word, doesn't need propping up. God's children ought to be shouting about the redemption they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they ought not be ashamed to be shouting it. They ought to be sharing that because it is why we're here on the planet. It is why the Lord has given us life. It is to His glory. He has called you out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light that you might give Him glory. That you would give Him glory in your family and in your homes and in on the job and as you come to church and as you leave church and as you go through your life, that you live a life in the ups and downs that are going to surely come in life. You're walking in them in a way to glorify the Lord. That's why He made you. He made you for His glory. As Brother John often says, this ain't about you. You know, that's the part people don't like. You know, when you say, this ain't about you. This ain't about me. This is about Him. We're here for Him. We're here because of Him. He has done this for us. We need Him, and we're here to praise Him. We're here to honor Him. And oh, how isn't it exciting? I hope you find it exciting. I hope if you're cold and dull and dry this morning, I hope the Lord will reach down from heaven into your heart and give you an eye to really see what He's done for you. Give you an ear to really hear it and a heart to know what He has truly done for you. He saved you from hell, an eternal torment that would have been yours, rightly so, forever and ever without end, as a judgment for the sin that we have committed in our lives. Sin from the very moment we were born, and that we will continue in a sense until we die. Oh, we ought not just roll in it, wallow in it. We ought to try to be delivered from it. But on our very best day, we're going to have to pray, Lord, forgive me this day my trespasses, as I forgive others who trespass against me. If you're waiting to get to heaven, when you get good enough, you'll never get there on your own. The good news is, according to this scripture, He's redeemed His people. He said, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. That sounds like it's done, doesn't it? Does that sound like it's done? Isn't that done? Isn't that His work? Isn't that what He said He did? Who did He redeem? Everyone He created to do that for. Every one of Jacob. Every one of Israel. Who is Jacob? It's God's chosen people. Who is Israel? It's the children of God. It's the spiritual Israel. It's those whom He circumcised in heart, where He took out a hard and stony heart and gave them a soft, tender heart of flesh, where He took out made that old man a new man, that old woman a new woman. He's called His sons and His daughters from the north and from the south and from the east and the west. And listen, He didn't wait for some man to do that. He didn't send the preacher to do that. He does that. And then those that He's given life to, He sends the ministry to preach to, that they might be enlightened about the life that He's given them. I can't give you life today. I can only make you mad today unless the Lord has given you life. But if the Lord's given you life, what I'm saying makes sense to you. If I'm preaching the truth, and I wholeheartedly believe I'm preaching the truth this morning. I believe this is the truth. I believe the Lord redeemed His people. I believe He's loved them with a love that they would never be separated from. I don't believe anyone can pluck one of them out of His hand. I don't believe anything they do can separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. It can break their heart and cause great harm in their lives. But there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that will keep one of His little children whom He loved from being with Him in heaven and immortal glory, because He loved them that much. And though I love my children, I can't always help them and do for them what I'd like to. But I'm not God. He is God. And what He has chosen to do, listen, it isn't going to be something He tries to get done. He speaks and it stands. It's done. We don't have a weak little feeble God. Amen. If you ever hear me preaching a weak little feeble God, pull me out of the stand. Love me later. Stop me now. He's mighty. He's powerful. He made this world. And the beauty of this world is not going to hold a glimpse to the beauty of heaven. You think you've enjoyed the mountainside and the beauty of this world, you wait till you get home to glory. When you get home to glory, you'll see the lovely face of Jesus. And you'll be so satisfied with that, you won't care about anything else. But I believe the beauties of heaven are so untold. You know, we sing about it the best we can, but I don't think we touch it. I know when I'm lifted up in a good little church meeting, I feel the Lord's presence. I feel like I get a little glimpse of what it's going to be, and I get so excited. I feel like those on the day of Pentecost. Somebody might think I'm drunk with new wine. And sometimes we look at the old, dear old Baptist church and we wonder, has anybody even heard? Is anybody even listening? Are we just using our lips or is our heart moved? I'll tell you what the heart being moved will do. It'll cause the mouth to speak. It'll cause the lame to leap. It'll cause those to praise the Lord and honor the Lord. It'll cause you to be thankful. Are you thankful today for what the Lord has done for you? Are you mindful of how good He's been to you? Have you realized from the time you were a little baby, and listen, that's a baby in its mother's womb. It's not a clump of cells. It's a baby. It's a little child, a baby that God has given life to. And it's there in that womb. And from that time, He's forming and fashioning that little baby in its mother's womb. And that life is precious if it's His child to Him. And He will watch it and be with it all the days of its life until it leaves this world. And in time, He will call it out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light if it's His child, and He won't lose a one. He made him. He created him. And He says, "For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." That's why ministers, that's why others better be careful how you treat one of God's little children. You're special in His sight. Sounds strange. I've just told you how rotten, no good you are. Now I'm saying you're special. See, the difference is, in us, we are no good. But in the Lord, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal, a kingly. That's what that royal means. Kingly priesthood. You are offering praises unto God today. As kings and priests, you are meeting today in the house of God to offer praise and sacrifice. You're kings in that you are more than conquerors. You're more than overcomers through Him that loved you. You are led as sheep to the slaughter, and you go through peril and sword, and that's why you've got so much trouble in your life. You say, "Well, if I'm a king and I'm a conqueror, why am I having so much trouble?" He didn't say you wouldn't have those things. He said you are more than overcomers as you go through those things. You have a Lord who's with you, who will lead you through the trials and the troubles. You've got some fiery furnaces to go through. You've got some lions' dens that are full of lions that are hungry that you've got to go through. You've got some enemies and some problems that you've got to face, and you need and I need that great friend that sticketh closer than a brother to be with us. And not only He is, let me say this, He is always going to be with you. But sometimes you and I shut our eyes and act like we're all alone. God forbid we do that. I want you to realize He's right there. You call on Him. You ask Him. You ask Him for help. Your mama falls and she got clamps in her head and you don't know what's going on. You ask Him for help. When you've got a friend in trouble, you ask Him for help. When your children are far removed from you and you're worried about what they're doing and how they're doing, you ask Him who's right there with them to watch over them. When you go through the problems and the pains of life, you remember He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and He'll either heal me or He'll deliver me in death. And either way is okay when you know He's with me. And you live your life praising Him, honoring Him, talking to Him, glorifying Him, singing to Him, meeting with the saints to talk about Him, reflecting Jesus in your life. Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works. What good works? The ones He's worked in that you work at. Because you, just like Brother Terry said, there ain't a thing in us good unless He first put it there. But if He's put it there, we're to let that light so shine before others that they might see your good works. And what do they do? Glorify you? Hope not. Don't let them do that. Glorify who? Your Father, which is in heaven. And you set your affections on things above. Keep your heart on heavenly things. You ever get your heart so based up in the earth you can't even think heavenly thoughts? You get to church, you're so tired and worn out and worried about things, you can't hardly think. You say, "Hi." And then sometimes we come in and sing. As I said, our lips are right on track, but our heart's far removed. Brethren, we are to tear up that old fallow ground. We're to break up that old hard ground and to receive the word as much as we can. Lord, help me hear when the preaching is going, that I'm just not hearing it run off me, but I'm understanding and I'm learning and I'm growing and I feel more close to Thee. When you have a meeting when you can feel His presence, it really doesn't matter who does the preaching. It really doesn't matter what songs. It's a good time in the Lord. And there's no colder place to be than an old Baptist church where you can't feel the Lord. It's cold in this world, but it's cold there too. And when we're cold, we ought to pray, "Lord, warm us up. Stir our hearts." He says, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. That means you belong to him. You're his child. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. We could go to many Old Testament, I'm sure you're thinking right now, about many Old Testament accounts and things that you've read that you remember when the children of Israel were in trouble, when God's little children stood faithful and looked to the Lord as they faced the problems that came as a result from that. God always delivered them every single time. Three Hebrew children came out of a fire furnace without even the smell of smoke on them. Daniel came out of a den of lions that were hungry enough to destroy those who cast him in there without even one scratch. You know, you get in a fight with a cat, you're going to have a scratch on you. And he didn't have a fight. He spent the night in the den of lions. I don't know what you're going through right now. I know the Lord knows. I know that you can feel trouble that overwhelms you. And even when you try to do right, you feel like it's working out the wrong way. And even when you think I've stood and done the right thing, it doesn't seem to be the right thing. It seems like it's going the wrong way, and you can get discouraged. Listen, little child of grace, you belong to him. You hang in there. The Bible says when you pass through, that means you got to go through it. Doesn't mean you're going to get stuck in it. Isn't that good news? You don't want to be stuck in it, do you? Daniel didn't have to live all the time in a den of lions. I bet he was glad of that. They didn't have to stay in a fiery furnace, though it was a good place, because when they were in that furnace, they went in bound, but they walked in the fire loosed, and they walked with Jesus, whom an old king that didn't have a clue of what he was doing hardly was allowed to see. One looks like the Son of God. I wonder how he knew that. You think the Lord can change the minds of a king, or the mind of a president, or the mind of some evil man? Listen, did he change yours? Did he change mine? If he did, then he can do that. Are you getting it? I want to say it lovingly, but I want to say it plain. If he can work on an old sinner like me and you, he moves and he works and he can. And everything we think has to be this way can be turned in a moment. Have you seen that happen? Have you seen him work? Everything that you've got thinking this is this way, you get on your knees, you pray to the Lord, and you will get through it, because his promise is you will get through it. He didn't say you're going to get out of it. He said you're going to get through it. When you pass through, he said what? I will be with thee. And if he's with you, well, you're in a good place. You said, well, I got trouble. Are you praying? If you're praying and he's with you, you're in a good place. Right in the middle of that problem, you're in a good place. You have the King of Kings walking with you. You have the answer right there. You have the peace living in your heart. You let it rule. You have in him wisdom, because he's made unto you wisdom. You have righteousness, which when you walk by faith, you're walking pleasing to God. Do you know what a blessing it is to be able to walk pleasing to God? You know how impossible it is for you and I to do one good thing without him? It's totally impossible. But with him, by faith, we can do those good things he would have us to do. We can follow him as he leads us. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. You hear? Here's why nothing can happen. Because we're not talking about a false god. If we were talking about a little idol, we were talking about something we didn't put up, we'd be talking about something we made. The idols of this world will not help you. You can bow down to them and you can worship them. The false religions of this world are just that. They're false. And you can depend upon them to help you, but they will let you down. There is no way they can help, because they have no power, no ability. What we are believing today is not based on just wives' fables or some idea or philosophy of man. It's God and what he has done and what he's written in his word. And we are serving the Lord our God. He's not just a God. He's our God. He's a personal God. He's the Holy One of Israel. And he's our Savior. Isn't it wonderful that they call him Savior? You know why they call him Savior? Because he is a Savior. He isn't just maybe your Savior, hope to be your Savior. He is your Savior. And that means your salvation is secure, because you got a Savior. And then he says, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. And what that is simply saying is that God will take care of you. Somewhere in the book of Isaiah it says there's no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper. Throughout the Bible we're told that we can trust in the Lord and there's no harm that can come upon us as we trust in the Lord and lean upon Him because He is going to take care of His people. You do not want to stand against the Lord as He is protecting His people. I love the 91st Psalm that speaks a little bit of that. It just came to mind. It says, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll tell you, if you today are walking hand in hand and in fellowship with the Lord, you're in a secret place. What is that place? It's a place the world doesn't know anything about. They don't understand, but it is a protecting that comes in the presence of the Lord that you have. That as you walk through the troubles and the problems and the things of this world, you are at peace in your heart. Have you ever seen God's children going through a hard time, but they seem to do it so peaceably? That's because they've got a secret place of the Most High, and they're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Is the Lord your refuge today? You trying to fix it yourself, or is the Lord your refuge? Is He your fortress? He says, my God, in Him will I trust. Oh, brethren, let us say that today. In the Lord we're going to trust. He said, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Is there a fowler, a person who would lay snares and traps in our lives? Absolutely. We have an adversary called the devil who's constantly trying to do that. And the men of this world despise the children of God if the Lord hadn't enlightened them and touched their heart. You'll have many enemies if you stand for what's right. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says you shall suffer persecution. Will it overcome us? Not according to the Scripture. He shall cover thee. Get this. I love this picture. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 4. He shall cover thee. There's a Psalm 91. He shall cover thee with His feathers. You see the picture of the little hen that's got those little peeps running around and come right underneath that hen. That there they are. They just hiding right underneath. You know, they in the safety of mama's wings. I see some of you mamas doing that with your children. You know, you come over here, I'll take care of you. I love that commercial on TV where that woman's running around. And they're throwing a volleyball. They're in a one of them battle ball contests, a dodgeball, and one team's getting ready to hit her son. She said, "I'll get you. I'll stop it." She's going to stop the ball from hitting it. Y'all might not have seen that, but that's all right. Mama's a step. You don't want to get between a mama and the kids if it's a good mama. You mess with something, you don't want to get involved there. But I'll tell you, there's a Heavenly Father. You do not want to play with His children and hurt them because He loves them. There was an entire army drowned in the water because they came after the children of Israel. Wiped off the face of the earth. Do you believe God would take care of you as you walk through life? He said He would. He said here, He said surely He shall. Listen, can you imagine today? You see, when you're in trouble, you can come underneath His wings. I'm underneath His wings. I don't have to be strong. Listen, my Heavenly Father, I can get underneath. It says He shall cover thee with His feathers and under His wings. Where are we trusting? I'm under His protection. Are you under His protection today? Listen, you're a little child of God. The Bible says you are. You're to draw close to Him. Stay under His protection. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield. And that's all I'm sharing with you today is the truth. And that becomes your shield. You go like, well, you know, somebody says something in the world and says, I'm going to do this. Well, you know, you got to mess with somebody a whole lot bigger than me. I don't have to fight this battle. Sometimes we want to fight the battle. We want to take the sword up. We want to make it, you know, they're not going to treat me like that. And listen, that's not acting like a little child of grace. That's acting like a, I started to say a McIntyre, but I won't say it. Started to act like a oops. We know the nature, don't we, Brother Ron? We know what it is. You go pack a smack and this one, you don't want to mess with that. You know, it's fine. So isn't it amazing how the Lord changes that old, you know, And you still have it to contend with. It'll rise up in a minute. You can do it happen at McDonald's. It'll rise up in a minute. You know, next thing something comes up and your old flesh gets in the way. Listen, remember, He is your shield. He is your buckler. You don't have to fight that battle. The Lord, He said, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Why would we want to fight a battle? We can't. You know, we can't handle that, but He can. He says, I gave Egypt for thee, for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. See, when the Lord wanted the children of Israel to have Canaan's land, He didn't say, you go fight the battle. He made the way. He prepared the land for them. He gave it, and He sent a hornet before them and drove the people out. He had them prepare a land for His people. Listen, the Lord will make a way for His children. And you say, in this old troubled world, the Bible says He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You say, well, this government seems like it's going to be our enemy. Well, if it is, He'll prepare. Do you believe He'll prepare a table before? I believe He has. I believe we're sitting at that table right now. I don't believe for a minute man had one thing to do with the church in getting it here or keeping it. I believe the Lord built it and the Lord's kept it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it. And He'll keep this church in this world, even if this nation, God forbid, falls. He will keep it somewhere. And He will protect His children. If it's in the caves and the dens of this world where they're hiding away, He will protect them. And if that be the case, and I'm under His wings, I say I'm in a pretty good place. I'd rather be under His wings. It's like the choice. Would you rather be in the ark with the Lord, or would you rather be with the rest of the world? And you know that ark delivered them from an evil world? It didn't just deliver them from a flood. It delivered them from an evil world. Because the world was so evil and corrupt at that time that the Lord says man's imagination has run so evil and so wild that I'm going to clean the planet. And that's exactly what He did. There were 8 little souls in an ark that were delivered from an evil world and brought into another place. And every time you see that rainbow in the sky, don't just think it's a prism effect that's causing those. I know what the science says and all that, and absolutely that's true. The science is there. But I'm telling you about the God who made the science. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a God who made that law work. They can tell you what it does, but they don't have a clue why it does it. I'm telling you about the one who designed it, not the ones who talk about it. And when it comes time for Him to change a law, He won't have any trouble doing that. Because one day you and I are going to fly away. We don't need a wing or a jet pack. Gravity will not be a hindrance. Because the God who made gravity, which they don't even know why it does what it does, but the God who made gravity is going to reverse it. And we're going out of here. And He's already proven He can do that. Because Jesus ascended into heaven. And as He went into the clouds, we also will go. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, that's great. And that same one who ascended is going to come again. Are you looking for Him? Are you living like you're looking for Him? Or are you like me sometimes, just so much in a pity party, you can't hardly praise God? If you are, shame on you. Let's get out of that. And let's remember what a great God we have, who's going to carry us through all of this. He says this, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. And I love the way the language of the Bible says it just like it is. It didn't say you're honorable because you've been precious. You're precious because you're honorable. It says because you're precious, you've been honorable. See, it has a big difference. A lot of people think you get honorable to get precious. No. You were precious first, and that made you honorable. Well, you say, what do you mean? That means if God had never loved us, we'd have never loved Him. If God had never loved me, I would have never been fit for anything. And if I'm worth anything right now, it's only by His grace that I am. If I have one honorable thing about me, it's because of what He worked in me. And it isn't because I got good enough for Him to love me and become precious to Him. I was precious to Him, and therefore He loved me so much that He took me from the dead state I was in and made me honorable in His sight. And the only way that's possible is to cover me in the blood of Jesus. If you've been washed in the blood, you've been made honorable. And I tell you, I look at the congregation today, I see you as honorable. Not because y'all are something in yourself, but you are the children of God. He's worked that in you. It comes out on your face. You can't really hide it. It just pops out. Sometimes God's little children, I don't know why, but they do that. Like the little woman that was with the issue of blood, once she had been delivered, she knew she was clean. You would have think she'd have hollered out to everybody, I'm clean. But the Lord had to call her out of the crowd. Because I feel she felt so overwhelmed by what had happened to her. She just felt almost, I'm ashamed to say anything. But the Lord called her out so that she might confess him. I'm saying to you, he calls you out that you might confess him. That's what you do in baptism. You confess him. I believe that he died for me, that he rose again. That's what the picture of baptism is. It doesn't save you for heaven. It makes you happy here. It gives you peace in your heart here. It says, this is what I believe. This is what my testimony is. This is my hope. My hope is in him and what he's done for me. And it's a desire on your part to live. I want to live differently because of that. Don't you want to live differently than you would have lived without him? Since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee. That's from the four. He never changes. If he's loved you, he's always loved you. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for the life. That means I will take care of you. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of you. Fear not. That's what he's saying. For I am with thee. Oh, we sing that hymn. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. Oh, that's where it's coming from. Right from his word. That's why that means. You ever wonder why those hymns mean so much to you? Because you're singing his word. And if we're not singing his word, let's just keep quiet. It ought to be his word. Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. He's talking about all of his children. And I was thinking about John 6 where it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He'll have them all. And he doesn't wait on anyone else or ask for anyone's help to do that. He gets every one of them. He calls them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's a little babe in its mother's womb or a thief on the cross. He doesn't have any trouble doing it. Even everyone that is called by my name. Who are they called by? By his name. For I have created him. Get this, because this is the whole thing for us here in this world. He says, I have created him for my glory. Why would the Lord have anything to do with me and you? It's for his glory. He desired a people to honor him and glorify him. And he says, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. We got a big God. We should live believing that, trusting in him, leaning upon him. I appreciate your kind attention. Please remember me in your prayers.